This afternoon, I have had the rare privilege to be able to interview our next guest by the name of Ellen. Ellen has had several paranormal experiences for quite a number of years. And what I enjoyed the most in talking with her is that it seemed to me that every time she brought up some type of a story, I could actually relate to it, but in a very different way. In other words, the common thread seems to be the same when you hear of people talking about their paranormal experiences, however, not necessarily in the same context. So as you listen to this interview tonight, let's see how many common threads or similar experiences you may have had with the paranormal. That being said, let's turn it over to Ellen and, of course, myself.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Thank you. Well, it's such a treat to be able to have the opportunity to speak with individuals about their ghostly experiences, because once again, many of us always ask the question, is this something that's actually a phenomenon? Is it real? Or is it just something that we're producing from our own heads? And so I have another individual here who will be glad to share her experiences. And so why don't we, let's start the process here. Okay, so Ellen, I guess my first question for you would be this. As far as you can remember going back into your youth, do you recall any experiences offhand that you would say seemed a little odd to you, or what would you say as you were growing up, your perceptions about the paranormal?
I didn't really have a lot of experiences in my youth with the paranormal. In fact, it was probably the farthest thing from my mind. Being outside and riding bicycles and stuff like that was probably on my mind.
Yeah. When you were growing up, did the paranormal get talked much about? When do you remember, how young were you when you might have heard even the concept about the paranormal? How do you remember how old you were?
I was probably in my teens when the movies and stuff started coming out. But other than that, it wasn't really anything that I felt was a life experience. It was more just fantasying on TV and that type of thing.
So it was something that you really never talked about in your family either,
no.
Right? It's just something that you saw on TV and all fantasy and pretend. Most people usually do not talk about this subject very much at all. Now, in this day and age, there's more openness about it because of all of the television shows that are on and the hype about it and everything, probably because, you know, we've got a few individuals in the industry here really going at wanting to prove this as a type of science or even a hardcore theory. So that's why probably in this day and age, there are, I would say, from my experience, especially in speaking with young children, there are several that have had experiences. And usually it's a taboo subject that they talk about either in their families until eventually, I would say, the parent decides to have a discussion with the child about what might actually be going on. So as we move through the years, Ellen, you have probably have changed your mind a little bit on that. I think we have talked a little bit about how you might have had a few experiences in your older years. Can you remember offhand when was probably, how old were you when you had your very, like, what you would say is, weird, uh-oh moment, and what happened? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
It was more than a weird uh-huh moment. It was probably one of the biggest experiences I have had to date. I was in my mid-20s and working at St. Elizabeth Hospital.
Okay.
The wing that I worked on was where the nuns had lived before they built a place for them outside the hospital. And this was in the early 1800s that they lived in this part of the building. So one day I was there on a weekend by myself.
Was this in the morning Mid-afternoon or evening?
It was in the afternoon.
Afternoon.
It was during the day.
Okay.
I worked on 3 South, and there was nobody there. I mean, from the first floor to the fourth floor, above me and below me, nobody on that wing except for me.
Okay.
And I was pulling my reports. I worked for the MIS department or data processing, and I had left my door open. I was at the very end of the hall, and there is a big, heavy door that goes to a stairway across from my door, but you can hear that when it opens and shut. It's pretty loud. The bathroom's on the other end of the hallway, so I leave my door open, and I'm running down to go to the bathroom, and I open up the bathroom door, and I catch this tall, black figure go into my open door.
Now, when you talk about a tall black figure, we have had people describe tall black figure. Are you talking in terms of it looked like a shadow, or did it look like a human figure form?
It was kind of shadowy, but the form was, it was tall and an arch.
And an arch.
And I didn't know at the time that the nuns had lived in that thing, or in that wing, and they wore the black habits like
oh,
that.
That's right, the black habits, that's right, yes.
And so I turned around and came back outside the bathroom, and I didn't hear that heavy door open and shut, because you could hear that up and down the hallway. And I'm like, hello, hello, and I walk down to the door, and I walk into my office room, and there's like nobody there. And I'm like, hello, hello. And there was nothing, nobody. So I don't know what happened to this figure or this person. It does have kind of a humorous ending to it, because I was looking in the room going, hello, hello, hello. And there was a coat closet. I'm like, oh man, I hope there's nobody hiding in there. I open up that coat closet and scream. There's a coat.
Oh, there's a coat hanging in the coat closet. Yeah, I suppose you could get yourself pretty worked up here. Although, what Ellen does not realize here is that my last segment, the one just before this one, was where ghosts hide. And closets is probably one of the number one places where they hide anyway. So that's funny you kind of bring that up, because I'm like, I'll have to have you go and listen to that segment, Ellen, you know. Here's my question about that figure when you describe that. Okay. So, yeah, I guess you could say it could be. How tall do you think this figure was?
It was probably 5.5 to 6 feet tall.
Okay, so obviously that sounds about potentially right. Was this figure floating off the ground, or did it appear to be touching the ground?
It appeared to be touching the ground.
So touching and moving, just kind of moving. When it was moving, was it slithering? Was it calmly drifting? What exactly did you see when you saw this figure and in its movement?
It was just very fluid. It just kind of floated right into the door.
Floated right into the door. Did it go through the door?
No, the door was open.
So it was open. Okay. And for those of you who have been following my show, you would also know that with some of the experiences I have had, I have actually seen manifestations go through a very solid door or whatnot. So that's why I asked Ellen about this, is did the figure go through the door, or did the figure go through an open door? So it sounds to me like it went into an open door. Did it appear, though, very calming, as if it had done it before?
Yeah, it didn't hesitate or anything. It just kind of like
slithered right on in. Yeah, I find that really interesting. I find it even more interesting that you would spook yourself with the closet, but then most people are spooked by closets. So again, Ellen, listen to my last episode. Okay, so now that was in your, what did you say you were? Your 20s?
Yeah, about mid-20s.
Mid-20s. Okay, so now we're moving ahead in her life, not to date Ellen or anything here. But what was another experience that you possibly had? What was your next? So did you think that experience, before we move into another experience, do you think that all of a sudden started to change your mind a little bit about what existed out there? Or did you know instinctively when you saw that black figure, did you feel threatened by it, or did it just feel like a calming presence, but a little bit nerve-wracking because you didn't quite know what it was.
It was very nerve-wracking at the time. The first time.
Oh, the first time?
That was the first time.
Oh, you've seen it before?
No. Yeah, there was a couple other black figures that showed up in that department.
Oh, lovely. Did it look to be the same black figure?
I don't know if it was the same because the next time I was actually looking down at a printer, they were about 3 foot high with a window that you could watch, and I seen it walk right in front of there, and I caught a whip of this swirl towards the ground.
Okay, when you say swirl, describe what you mean by that a little bit more.
Sort of like the black mist or whatever, somebody's whipping a dress or something. It just kind of went up like this.
Okay, when it went up, did it disappear?
Yes.
And then it kind of disappeared. I'm going to assume this, that what she was experiencing was it transforming itself into or manifesting itself into a stage where it could have been like more mobile. Like most people, when they're ghost hunting at night and they have the infrared cameras and also the ultraviolet light lenses on there, you can see these things a lot easier. So you see a lot of these, they call them like light balls or orbs or motion orbs, things like that. And so they see that. So what it was probably doing, I'm speculating here, if she saw like it whisked up or something, it probably put itself into a form to, as they say, get out of there. You know, I mean, or maybe it wasn't bothered by you at all and it was done doing what it was doing and it was just moving on to the next thing. So I find that very interesting too. So you've had a few of these occurrences. How soon after your very first occurrence did you see these other situations or these other occurrences?
Well, they happened over a period of probably 7 years.
7 years, okay.
At the hospital. I had other experiences in another house that I lived in.
Yep, and we're gonna get right to that. One more question on these days. Do you remember at all? Have you ever studied moon phases or anything like that? Usually a lot of this stuff will occur at its strongest during the full moon, clear sky, new moon, clear sky. Do you remember what type of days? If you don't follow the moon phases, you probably wouldn't know.
No, I don't follow the moon phases at all. Yeah. But they were always during the day.
Always during the day. So that goes back to my podcast before, number 18. I believe I spoke in there about how ghostly activity actually can happen during the daytime and also during the nighttime. And I'm just going to give you a brief example. Right now where we're taping in here, we're taping in one of the, I'm an instructor and I, as most of you know, and we are in what is called the haunted classroom at my school. And during the daytime here, when I have, when we've got the right moon phases, usually, that's usually the case. Sometimes we have a little activity going on in here. Now, to the common person, it just looks like a standard room, you know, square, no windows, just lights and tables and chairs. But there are other ways that these ghostly beings can make themselves known in here. They like to play with my projector. They like to do all kinds of things. They like to tap people on the shoulder. So, of course, my students are always, when you're in the type of class that I teach, they're always full of nerves anyway. And the last thing they need is having something tap them on the shoulder or whisper in their ears. So these are the types of things that have happened in the classroom here. But enough about that. Let's go back to Ellen, shall we? Okay, so Ellen, tell me, okay, did you say you had another ghostly experience?
Oh, I've had several.
Oh, good. What's another one you've had?
You want me to go back to Wiki Watching?
Anything later after that?
Mm-hmm. About 5 years ago, I moved to a small town called Wiki Watching in Florida, and we happened to live in this housing addition that was outside of Wiki Watching. It's kind of remote, but there's still several houses out there, and this house seemed to attract a lot of activity. There was three women including myself, living there at the time. And there would be, I actually seen an apparition in there in somebody else's room. It walked from their bedroom door to their computer and, like you said, went through the wall.
Mm-hmm. What did this apparition look like?
It was also kind of a black, it didn't have as much definition as the first one I seen. It was just kind of a free-moving black mist.
Kind of a black mist. Why do I feel like black mists like to hover around you, Ellen?
I don't know.
You're the black mist attractor of all times here. So you saw another black mist, wasn't as defined,
mm-hmm.
Went through a door this time.
It went through a wall.
Went through a wall this time.
In fact, her computer seemed to attract a lot of activity because it would pop and whirl and stuff when nobody was touching it.
Yeah.
And you were talking about the orbs earlier. We actually had orb activity in that house. Mm-hmm. It was near a ceiling and people were going, it's lightning bugs. But lightning bugs don't move like that.
Right.
It was, and they were bigger.
Right.
They were bigger and they did a kind of an erratic thing around the ceiling and then they would disappear.
Now, let's talk a little bit about that here because I've had talked about this in other shows regarding orbs and the ability to see orbs. So I guess I'm going to ask you this. When you saw these orbs, did you have special equipment to see them with? Or did you actually see them during the day, during the evening time? What time of day were you seeing?
It was dark. It was pitch dark. And they were in a bathroom.
And a bathroom. Remember I talked to you guys about the bathroom in my last segment? I think most of you need to go back to my last segment here. Isn't it interesting? Now, Ellen and I haven't prescripted this. This is interesting when she says these things, and I just got done talking about them on my previous show. This is the stuff that people report. The one thing about a bathroom, though, again, that I brought up in my last segment was that sometimes these, not just the closet element in the bathroom, but they like to be near a possible water source. And I know that everyone's going, well, I have water sources in my house. Yes, but if your house is particularly haunted or has that, they thrive on that, or it could be a portal that's coming somewhere in the bathroom. So in the bathroom, you would notice this, mm-hmm. right? Okay. Did you say you saw it with your naked eye, or did you see it? You saw it with your naked eye. So these really bright flashes that hovered towards the mm-hmm. ceiling. And I need to remind everybody again, that's exactly what I brought up in my last episode. A lot of these orbs, when they hover, they like to either go up toward the ceiling, down towards the floor. There's places that these orbs like to pretend that they're either hiding or it's just a place of comfort for them. So I'm going to definitely have Ellen listen to my last episode. But anyway, so you saw this. Now that you've seen this activity going on towards the ceiling, anything move or happen because of anything more from an energy standpoint that happened?
Oh, we've had knocks at the door.
Knocks at the door.
And it wasn't like
tap, tap, tap.
Yeah, it was like
ramp,
slam.
Ramp. Slam, slam, slam. Okay.
And then there would be something every night rustling in the kitchen. And I have this thing now where the hair on the back of my neck and on the back of my head and the hairs on my arm stand up if I get too close to any of that kind of energy.
Yeah.
And I hate to say that, but it's true. We found a spot that was in the kitchen that was very active. It seemed like a lot, especially at night mm-hmm. there. And it was a pantry.
Yes. Pantry. Another closed mm-hmm. closet type situation, right?
Right.
When you bring up the hair standing on the back of your head and on your arms, mm-hmm. There is some truth to be known with that. When I was in Astoria, several years ago, we went to this house just to look at it. It's like a museum. And I never asked the question when I was there to the woman who started us out on the tour if the home was haunted because it was one of those Victorian homes. And I went upstairs, and actually that's exactly what happened to me in a particular spot in a bedroom. And I stood there, and I told my husband, I said, if there's something in this house, it's right here, and I'm standing right on top of it. Well, isn't it interesting that you would bring that up? Because when we went to the gift shop in that home, I asked if they had any books there on the house, and lo and behold, in a chapter, almost hard to believe, I managed to start reading some of the dialogue about some of these rooms. And yes, indeed, something they weren't open about to the public was there was a ghostly figure that would manifest in that particular room. And believe it or not, they actually said it was in the center of the floor, right where I was standing. So when you talk about that regarding having these types of hair standing up on the back of your head and all that, you've got something, I would say you're ultimately probably have become more sensitive or more open over the years as myself. And because of that, it seems like we can pick this stuff up a little bit faster now, just from our own bodies being the radar.
Mm-hmm. My eyes also water.
Oh, they water?
But I don't cry.
Oh, cool. I'm going to bring you on ghost hunts with me, Ellen. Okay, Ellen, are your eyes watering yet? Have we made contact? I mean, that's the only thing that goes through my head. So that's interesting. So now we have the orbs activity. We've got the sounds. We've got the visual. What else have you experienced?
We've had actually things thrown on the floor.
And things thrown on the floor. Give us an example here.
There was a salad sitting on the couch.
A salad? Didn't like your salad, did it?
Nope. Threw it on the floor.
We were
actually sitting in a dining room and in the kitchen that had been sitting in the middle of the island. The salad.
In the middle of the island, right.
Right.
So there's no way it could have slid off the island top or whatnot, correct?
Correct.
It was literally pushed, shoved, and thrown.
Mm-hmm.
So where were you sitting when you saw the salad being thrown?
Well, I didn't see it. We heard it. And we came back around because the kitchen was in one room and just around the corner was the dining room.
Yeah. Yeah. And so you saw it, and next thing you know, you saw a bowl of salad on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
And you heard it.
Mm-hmm.
So what was your reaction when you experienced things like that? Because I have experienced very similar things myself with things being thrown or whipped off of a counter or whatnot, especially when my back is turned. They like to do this and mess with your minds because they think, oh, it's just my imagination or that's a coincidence or maybe there's something that caused that. But a lot of times you will notice, especially when you're ghost hunting or you're by yourself, that you'll have more of these occurrences by yourself than you would if you were in a group. Sometimes if you're even partnered up, if one partner's looking away and you're looking in a certain direction, all of a sudden you'll notice that you're the one who sees the something happening and the other one just, you know, isn't aware of it. The other people you're with or person that you're with also heard it as well, right?
Right. In fact, they were so scared. There were as often nights that we spent the night in the same bedroom.
Oh, yeah, because you're afraid to go because of all the activity out there, right?
I wasn't really afraid, but one of the girls was very,
very afraid
of that kind of stuff.
So how long did you live there, did you say?
Yeah, about 2 years.
2 years. Did you move because of the ghosts?
No, I didn't. One of the women's sons actually lived with us, and he had an experience of something coming out of the closet at him in that house.
See, once again, we're talking about closets here, people. Listen to my last episode. So what did you see coming out of the closet?
He feels that it was a demon. It scared the life out of him. He wouldn't go back in that room ever again.
Okay. Did he describe this entity
at all? It was a big black.
Another black thing, like I say. Okay. Another black image, shadow.
Yep.
Shapely.
It came through him, and he's felt very odd since.
Oh, it went right through him.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone who has ever had the, and I'm not going to even say the word privilege here, because I have been possessed and taken possession of by ghostly spirits. Yes, you will. It's a very different type of experience that you're going through. And sometimes, for example, like you might not even know you're being targeted as possession. For example, just a quickie here. Last year when I was in Las Vegas, and I went, had several ghost experiences there, as I always do, which is, of course, this segment this week. I was in a trance in the shower for a long period of time before I snapped out of it and didn't realize it until my husband came into the bathroom. And it's almost like as soon as he came in, whatever was in me left from my feet and went all the way up through my body and exited through my head. And I was in a trance, and he said I was standing there for the longest time, just not doing anything. But everybody has different types of experiences when something is trying to go through them or take possession of them. Did he describe at all any of the feelings he had?
He said it was very dark.
Dark.
And not dark as in, you know, it was like, night. It was feeling like...
Feeling gloomy.
Yeah, well, and angry.
Angry. Yeah, you've heard... If you watch the television shows, especially some of these more popular ones, you will hear them describe that when they're being taken possession of by a very negative spirit, that anger is one of the things that they talk about is, I feel very angry. I feel like I want to punch the wall right now, or I want to punch somebody or hurt somebody. Did he say how long it lasted for?
He still thinks that it followed him. He moved to with his dad, and he still has problems. He still has dark moments where he says, he calls it, the demons have taken over.
Okay, so obviously, is this a very real thing? Now, most people in the medical profession would probably pass this off as being something else, or the psychological profession would pass it off as something else. That's possibly very possible. I know that when demons or demonic energies want to, or negative ones, want to attach themselves to individuals, they can follow them. And so depending on how a person feels about their life, especially if they're feeling more depressed or anything like that, they love to feed off that. And in my last episode, that is one of the things I talked about, was one of the things that where these ghosts hide, sometimes they hide in you, okay, because of your, they like this energy. They like anything that has a hyped up energy, whether it's really angry or really down and depressed or whatnot, they feed off of that, and then they bring the person down, basically bring them down with them. And so it's until you really understand what could be going on, that's something that's also very scary and real. Have you had any other experiences that you can remember? It sounds to me like you've had a nice assortment here of all types of experiences, Ellen. Anything more, anything recent? When was your last experience?
Probably when I left Weeki Wachee.
When you left there, a couple mm-hmm. years ago mm-hmm. or a few years ago?
I've wondered about my own house. It's about 100 years old, but because we'd have, like, our cats would walk to the middle of the room and look up and meow mm-hmm. at, like, something up at the ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like people walk up and down the stairs.
Mm-hmm. Is this happening in the evening time?
Throughout
the day?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, and it's, anyone knows that it, with especially a lot of these older homes, the reason why some of them still, have you ever researched the house at all?
No, we haven't.
To find out if anyone passed away in the house or killed themselves?
No, but I wonder sometimes about spirits being attached to land.
Yes. Well, especially the most common one is the Indian burial grounds. That is definitely something that you don't want to disturb. Being attached to land, yes. If they feel that they were there first, and I talked about this also in my last episode about land and possessions and a little bit about that if they feel that they were there first, you know, and they are very tied to the land or tied to the property or tied to a home of comfort or whatnot, they don't necessarily leave. The other thing is that there could be a portal that's underneath or near the house, which I've had in some of the homes that I've investigated or lived in, including my own great-great-grandparents' house. So there's all kinds of things that can be occurring. And then the other thing you have to ask yourself about is what type of foundation could the home be on? For example, my great-great-grandfather's parents' house, limestone, perfect conductor for absorption of energy. Do you know by chance what kind of a bed the house foundation the house is sitting on?
Our yard has a lot of clay in it.
Has a lot of clay. I know that where I live currently, someone had mentioned years ago that for some reason, due to the fact that we're near a quarry where I live, just down the road, that whatever's in this stone or something could also be a conductor of this energy, which can help to manifest the area with more paranormal than people are aware of. And if you've got clay, maybe there's more to it, or there might be elements in the clay.
Well, the basement is kind of weird, too. It's kind of brick and cement.
They like brick. They like stone. Ghostly entities will absorb themselves into particular things in walls, if there's copper wiring, stone-type things. So the things that you're mentioning are the common materials that a lot of these ghostly entities will that they'll absorb themselves into or hang around because of the elements.
I found it interesting that you brought up a portal, because the Weekiwachi house was only 10 years old.
It doesn't have to be an old house. I lived in a house that was only 10 years old. We had a portal underneath the house, and we had a variety of paranormal activity in that house, and it had gotten so bad that that's the reason why we moved. And I would bet that that's part of it.
I wondered if there was like a pathway, because at times it would be really quiet.
Yes.
And then other times it would just seem like night after night after night there would be activity.
Well, and again, when that happens, and if you're noticing something a little bit more active, then what I would do, first of all, is look at the moon phases. Full moons on clear nights, new moons, which you can't see the moon at all on clear nights, are your strongest nights for activity. There's other nights that are also active, and you could have it even when it's not a full moon. But it just depends on where you're at, what the elements are, what are the conditions and all that. And that's why sometimes you notice this. And also there's anniversary ghosts too. Anniversary ghosts or residual ghosts are where they just play back, and it doesn't matter when it is. I mean, it doesn't matter if it's during the day, doesn't matter if it's during the night. They just play back, and they're not intelligent. An intelligent ghost know of your existence. They know that you're around. They bug you. They do things. Residual ghosts and residual activity ghosts, or anniversary, excuse me, they just show up on certain dates, and then they leave on those certain dates and stuff. It's just like just watching a playback movie. You know, they don't know that they're doing this. It just happens because the energy was absorbed during the right conditions, during the right timing in that particular location. So,
now, one of my roomies in Weekiwachi did express that she had seen a white lady.
A white lady. So explain that one a little bit.
Well, once it was in my room, but I did not see it at the time. She said it was up in a corner in my room, and it was a lady. She could actually make out her features and stuff.
Yeah.
And then one time when she was sleeping in her room, she woke up to this lady hovering over her.
Oh, that would freak me out.
Yeah.
Hovering over you. Wouldn't you love that? Yeah. She said she could actually see the details of this woman. Did she ever describe her to you?
She said she had like long flowing hair and kind of a sweet, youthful face.
A youthful face. Young, probably looking. Mm-hmm. Now, let me remind all of you, too, that ghosts, just because they pass away at the age of, let's just say, 80, 90 years old, doesn't necessarily mean that they will show themselves as that age to you. For an example, the images that I photographed and that are in my book of my aunt and my great-great-great aunt, I believe, and my great-great-grandfather, who were in a screened window, they look younger than when they had passed away. And you hear many accounts of this, that just because someone passes away at a certain age doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to show themselves to you as that age. I've heard a number of reports that, for example, a woman was talking about her deceased son. Her son passed away in his 20s. And he showed himself to her as an 18-year-old, or what he looked like when he was 18. So you might ask the question, why? And I can't really give you an answer for that, but I do know from the images that I photographed in the window, in that screened window myself, they were more youthful. They looked like they were 4 to 10 years younger than what they probably passed away as. So that's very interesting. What did this white lady do anything to?
She just said that she actually didn't mind the white lady, because she brought a feeling of calmness, like she was having some sort of dark dream. And when she woke up, there was this white lady, but she didn't feel upset anymore. Yeah. When she saw her,
she felt calm. Mm-hmm. And did this woman or this white image show herself numerous times or a few times?
Just a few times. And then she was like gone for good. I mean, we never saw her again.
Yeah. Sometimes when people appear to us, and not everyone has this experience, I have not had anyone physically appear to me visually, except when I photographed those images. Maybe that's just because they know that if I did see them, you know, face to face, it would be quite a different story. You know, it freaks you out more when you're not used to things like this. If we were all running around and we were used to seeing images or people of the past show themselves to us or whatnot, we'd probably get really used to it where it wouldn't be a big deal. But this is something that doesn't happen every day. And that's why people are more fearful of it. It's something we don't recognize. It's something that bugs us a little bit more if we were to see that. And that's why people are scared of that. They have the fear behind that. So I find that very interesting. I do have reports always of the white lady. I wish I could tell you if white meant good or white meant bad, but you know, you can't also you've got to be really careful about who's showing to yourself too, because a lot of times, especially if it's demonic, they like to play with your mind a little bit. So you can have little kids. They know that little kids especially are what a demon would take its form of, because and the elderly, because we have a different feeling and sense about our elderly and our kids. And so because of that, we have a tendency to let our guards down a little bit more and trust what we see more and all that. So with the white lady, it's good that she had a calming feeling. I would say if that she had anything else or her system was telling her something differently, she would probably fear the white lady, you know. Mm-hmm. So is there anything else that you can remember or recall before we wrap this interview up here?
Nothing really noteworthy. Like I said, it's mainly taps and hearing rustles through the cabinets and the dishwasher opening and shutting. We had doors in the hospital too open on their own or shut on their own, that type of stuff. But
well, I think that that's for our listeners especially. There's many of them out there who haven't even experienced half of these things that either you or I have experienced. And so, you know, based on that, it might be a timing thing too. Like today, after we part, you might be doing, minding your business somewhere or going home, and then all of a sudden you might have another experience. You can't always predict when these experiences are going to happen either. That's just par for the course. Even with myself, you can ghost hunt till you're blue in the face, and you know, no pun intended. But you know, the thing is that they're not necessarily, even if they're there, that doesn't mean they're going to manifest, show themselves, tap on a wall, do anything by commands. A lot of times it just depends on the entire situation, the people, the circumstances, you know, and most importantly, who they are and what their intention is. So, well, Ellen, I think this was a really good interview today. I have appreciated very much your time. And of course, our listeners have probably learned a little bit more about the validation factor here, about how, you know, how things can manifest and act in different ways during different periods of time and different locations and through the most common things, portals, moon phases, just the energy that's been absorbed into walls, you know, into foundations, you name it. And of course, closets and bathrooms, my favorite topic from last week. So thank you very much. I hope you enjoyed this interview.
Thank you.
And we hope to talk to you again once we get some more experiences under the belt. All right. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Be careful what you wish for.
Thank you for joining us this evening. Dr. Schutz welcomes your emails and paranormal stories. Visit her website at www.paranormaluniversalpress.com for contact information, or go to amazon.com to view her books, searching under Paranormal Encounters. Subscribe to this program by clicking on the link on her podcast page to follow upcoming episodes. Thanks for listening. Take care. And until next time, be careful what you wish for. The script, vocal talents, and music compositions in this podcast program are copyrighted. As a disclaimer, this podcast episode or parts thereof may not be reproduced, reposted, or transmitted in any form without the express permission from the producer and company, Paranormal Universal Press, LLC. Any opinion or claim made in any podcast episode by the host or guest does not necessarily represent the viewpoints of Paranormal Universal Press, LLC. Properties mentioned in any podcast are publicly known to be haunted or have been discovered to have unexplained occurrences. If you are a ghost seeker, please take precautions and respect people's properties by not trespassing.